Look at that person sitting next to you and give them a big smile and say, God loves you and so do I. There was a name in 19th century China and in various places all over Asia for persons who came to church because they were hungry for material food. Going through the motions, they converted, they were baptized, they joined the church and remained active members as long as their physical needs were being met through the generosity of the congregation. But once their life situation improved and they and their families no longer needed rice, they drifted away from the church. And so the missionaries called them rice Christians. The rice Christians literally worked for their food. They got involved, they served, they went through the motions because they were being fed. It's an approach that we encounter more often than not. My cat even works for food. Every night she gets really antsy for some fancy feast. And throughout the day, she has an unlimited supply of attitude and sass. It's really hard to catch her. But for a small window of time at night, she becomes your best friend. She cuddles up. She purrs. She's well behaved. She knows I've got the fancy feast. And I know that if I tap on the can, she will follow me down the steps to the garage. She doesn't want to go in the garage. But she knows I want her to go into the garage. And if I give her the food, then she, guess what? Goes into the garage. Too bad you can't try that when your kids get on your nerves. But my cat, Anna, works for food. Even I work for food. Though most of us do not go hungry, we will work for the food of self-reliance. We will work for that which builds our ego. We will work for the food of self-sufficiency, and in some cases, we will work for our own salvation. We say to ourselves, if I can just do this or that, then my hunger will be satisfied. Just one more trip and I'll be happy. Just one more relationship and my heart will be nurtured. Just one more this or that and my hunger will be satisfied. In today's gospel reading, the crowds followed Jesus because he had fed them the day before. They wanted to do what they had to do so that they would be fed again. I can envision the scene, can't you? Boy, that was good food yesterday. Those Jesus fish and chips are the best. Let's follow him and do what he wants. Let's work for the food for today. I want to eat again. Let's even get in good with him so we'll never go hungry. Let's even make him king because of what he has given to us. We work so we will be provided for. It's similar to an ancient Roman law that these people would have been familiar with that says, I give so you will give. Think about your life and all that you have worked to achieve. Think about the tireless nights when you have had to plan your next move. Think about all the deals that you have dealt with financially and in relationships and in your family. It goes without saying that at times it really was work. There's nothing wrong with working. It's necessary. It's admirable, especially when it's good for society. Work is good. And let's face it, sometimes we really do need to work on ourselves from time to time when our self-will runs riot. But like food, all the things that we work for are perishable. In Jesus' interaction with the crowds, he speaks to them metaphorically. He tells them not to work for food that perishes, but for food that will last eternally. He reminds them of an ancestral story. The manna that their ancestors were fed while they wandered through the wilderness did not come from their religion. The food that they were fed did not come from their denomination. It did not come from their works. It did not come from the Hebrew society and what level they were on. It did not come from their striving and scheming. Their food came from God. God was the source. God was their sustenance. God was their strength. They lived and ate because of what God was doing. Food that perishes. For us, this underlines the all too familiar longing for a religion of convenience and a faith that satisfies our wants. It will perish. To go after food that perishes is like going to God as a lobbyist on a grand scale. It's no more than a case of I give, so you will give. Jesus points to the crowds and to us gathered here today to prayerfully go beyond working to satisfy our immediate needs and wants with those things that are perishable. Jesus shares with us the way to satisfy our souls for eternity. Jesus made a profound statement when he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Do you grasp that? You see, for us, bread is optional. We may enjoy it, especially the variety of breads that we can purchase in our supermarkets today. We can get our bread as white bread, whole wheat bread, multi-grain bread, corn bread, flat bread, cinnamon bread, rye bread, buckwheat bread, Italian bread, yeasted bread, unleavened bread, sourdough bread, and if you've ever been to Subway, there's always something new coming out. We can get our bread as a biscuit, a roll, a waffle, a bagel, a bun. The list goes on. And no matter how it's prepared, it is perishable. But in Palestine, when this gospel was recorded, bread was not looked upon as an add-on to a meal. Bread was the essential staple of the diet. You might have nothing else to eat, but as long as you had bread, you could survive. Bread was seen as that which provides life. Jesus was saying to the crowd and is saying to us today, I am the one who provides abundant and everlasting life. I am not an option in the supermarket. If you really want life, I am essential. I am necessary. For us, for all those perishable things that we have worked so hard for, Jesus tells us, if you really want life, I am essential. I am necessary. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It's bread that you cannot purchase. It is bread that you cannot buy. The bread of life, Jesus Christ, is a gift from God the Father. Like manna from heaven, Jesus comes to us first. He is the opposite of the Roman law. Jesus gives first, and then we give. In God's grace, and by God's grace alone, Jesus offers us the bread of life. I think Jesus knew that we all have a tendency to put our faith in things that ultimately cannot satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. Think about your life right now, this morning. Is the deepest longing of your soul satisfied? Or is there room for bread? St. Augustine said it this way: our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. The only bread that can satisfy our hunger is the life that God offers us. And the amazing truth is that when we take the risk of carrying out God's cause in the world, we find that somehow we experience a peace and a freedom and a quality of life that nothing that is perishable can possibly ever provide. When we take the risk of faith and begin to quiet our restless hearts, we find the life God offers us truly satisfies us in ways that we never expected. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're still going to work. But you're not working for food that perishes like a rice Christian. You're not working for fancy feasts like my cat. You're not working for your next step in life. You're not working for the approval of other people. You are not working to forgive your own sin. You work and you serve because you're a disciple who has been saved to the uttermost. You work and serve because of the joy of your salvation, not for your salvation, but for the joy of it. You work and you serve because Jesus has come to you first. All the chasing of things that you have done in your life where you had to be first, your faith is one thing where Jesus comes to you first. You're invited this morning, invited to believe, invited to receive all of the perishable things that we have worked for will one day indeed perish. But Jesus is the bread of life that will never perish. Feast on him. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn it, but by through him which the world might be saved. A relationship with Jesus Christ is not perishable. It is eternal. And Jesus has come here today long before we showed up. Amen.